Southern California Christian Students College Retreat, November 19 through 21st, 2010. Big Bear, California. Conference title is The High Gospel. Message 4. Go and disciple all the nations. Scripture reading, Matthew 28:16-20, Acts 1:8, 13:1-3, and 14:23, and verses 26-27.
Okay, now we come to message 4, but before we come to the outline, I'd like to just remind you of where you are this morning, where we all are right now. Amen. Apparently, we're sitting inside a gymnasium of the Big Bear Elementary School, and apparently outside there's a snowstorm. But I'd like to remind us all, we are in Christ.
Amen.
Let me ask you right now, where are we?
In Christ.
Brothers, where are we?
In Christ.
Sisters, where are we?
In Christ.
We are in Christ.
Amen.
We are in the best place.
Amen.
Right now, we're in a place that's better than Hawaii. It's better than your warm bed. We are in Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the embodiment of the triune God.
Amen.
That means right now we can be in the enjoyment of the triune God.
Amen.
So forget about what's outside. Forget about what's waiting for you when you go home this afternoon. Right now, let's just take care of enjoying where we are.
Amen.
We are in the best place.
Amen.
We are in the triune God. Let's enjoy Him this morning.
Amen.
So let's turn to our outline for message 4. And let's read the title together.
Go,
disciple all the nations. Good. Well, some were quoting the verse. But the title is, Go and Disciple All the Nations. This is from the Lord's Word in Matthew 28, verse 19. And what I'd like to do, before we get to the outline, I'd like to just impress you with the situation at the time when the Lord spoke this word. When the Lord gave this command to His disciples. The time this was given was after the Lord had resurrected. And He told His disciples, go to a mountain in Galilee and I will meet you there. Can you picture the scene? Maybe I'll have these brothers. Why don't you come up here? Can you picture the scene? Let's say you are those disciples. You had been with the Lord. You had been with Christ. Who is Christ? He is God who became a man. He lived among you. You were His closest companions. This Christ that you were with is the meaning of human life. You got to live with Him. You got to observe Him. You got to see He's the meaning of human life.
Amen.
And you were His closest companions.
Amen.
And then, on the day of His resurrection, He came to you. And He breathed into you. And said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In other words, receive me.
Amen.
So you had been with Christ. You had been with the One who is the meaning of human life. You had received this One who is the meaning of human life into you. Isn't that something?
Amen.
I mean, wouldn't have you been excited?
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord!
I mean, you would have been thinking, we made a good choice. Remember, there are thousands that came to Christ, but none of them followed Him. Boy, I'm glad we followed Him.
Amen.
I'm glad we stayed with Him. Because now we have the meaning of human life.
Amen.
We have Him in us.
Amen.
But then this one said, okay, go. Go to Galilee. Go up a mountain. I'll be waiting for you there. And there I have a word for you. I have a command for you. Okay, brothers, you can sit down. So let's look at what the Lord spoke to these disciples. I think they would have been very, very happy at this time with their choice to be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 28. We'll start with verse 16. I'll just read it to you. You can follow along in your Bible. And the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, though some doubted. That word means some hesitated. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then He charged them, you who were with me, you who know that I am the meaning of human life, you who have received me, you are the ones. You are the ones. You need to go.
Amen.
Don't just stay. Don't just stay and be your own society, your own secret little group, knowing the meaning of human life. You now have to go.
Amen.
You have a responsibility.
Amen.
You need to go, therefore, and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You, who needs to go? You need to go. You who have the truth. You who have the reality. You who have Christ as the meaning of your human life. You are the ones that need to go. And who do you go to? Who do you go to? He said, go to the Gentiles. He didn't say, go to the Holy Land. And in the Holy Land, go to the Holy City. And in the Holy City, go to the Holy Temple, where all those who are seeking God can be found. No, He said, you go to the Gentiles. The Gentiles represent the heathen, represent those that are not saved, represent those that are not seeking God. We need to go to these ones, to the ones who are not seeking God, to the ones who are godless. Go to those who are godless. Go to those who don't have God.
Amen.
Go and tell them. Amen. Disciple them.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to impress you. We're at that same point this weekend. This weekend, have we not enjoyed being disciples of the Lord Jesus? Have we not enjoyed learning that we are the meaning of the universe? And the way that we become the meaning of the universe is when we receive Christ as the meaning of our human life. Are you not delighted with this? This delights me. I never get tired. I am always refreshed to be reminded the meaning of my human life is Christ.
Amen.
I have Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, I have meaning.
Amen.
I have meaning.
Amen.
And not only do I have Christ, but I have the church,
Amen.
Which is the practical expression of Christ. I have the place where I can go
Amen.
To be helped to see this Christ, to know more of this Christ. Let me ask you, have you not been touched this weekend? In your heart, are you not grateful? In your heart, are you not thankful?
Amen.
Well, we should be grateful. We should be thankful. But we also should arrive at the same point with the Lord here on the mountain, realizing that now the Lord has a word for us. You who know these things, you who not only know these things, but have these things have become real to you. You now need to go back. You need to go down from the mountain. You need to go back to the Gentiles. You need to go to the nations. You need to go to the people who do not have God, to the people who do not know God, and you need to disciple them. We'll get into this in a little bit. You need to disciple them, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That name is the name of God, the triune God. In other words, what he is saying, you need to go back and you need to bring people, put people into God,
Amen.
Into Christ.
Amen.
Don't just tell them things, but you need to go and you need to know how to lead them, to bring them, to put them into Christ,
Amen.
That they too would have the meaning of their human life. Brothers and sisters, I hope we would be touched by this. I hope we would take the Lord's command. This is a commandment from the Lord. For over 2,000 years, this commandment is being fulfilled. But it is not yet being fully fulfilled. We need to fulfill this commandment. We need to complete this commandment by going to those that do not have God, to bring them the meaning of their human life. Well, before we go through the outline, I'd like to dwell a little bit on some concepts that may hinder us, that may limit us from entering in to fulfilling this commandment. Okay, the first word, go. Go. The Lord said, go. Who goes? Who goes? Right away, if you say, I go, you failed. Right away, if you say, I go, you failed. You cannot do this by yourself. We have to go. We have to go. The Lord spoke the word to the disciples. It was corporate. It's a corporate going. Do not go alone. Let's go together. We will go. So on your campus, it's not I, it's we.
Amen.
If you want an impact on your campus, don't go alone.
Amen.
Let's go with the we.
Amen.
We will
Amen.
Go.
Amen.
Who goes? We go.
Amen.
How do we go? First of all, I like to tell you, don't go in a wild, crazy way. You need to learn how to go in a proper way. Don't go and stand up on the tables in the cafeteria and say, I want to tell you, your life is vain. Well, it's a little crazy. You'll find many people will be closed with that kind of going. You need to learn how to go in the right way. And we'll see in a little bit, you need to learn how to go to all kinds of people on the campus. You even need to learn, we need to learn, how to go to our professors. But how you go to your professor, don't go to him in a wild way. Professor so-and-so, I want to tell you, you have been living a vain existence. The whole pursuit of your academic career is empty. Well, are you right? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. But are you going in a way to disciple that professor? Are you going in a way where you could lead him into Christ? I tell you, you go in that way, up will come the iron curtain, right? Up will come the defenses. What are you, 18-year-old, telling me, right? My life is vain. Actually, you can tell him his life is vain, but how you tell him matters. It matters. I took a class, a German class, and my German teacher, she was a German Jew. And I was in that class, and I was burdened for her. But I didn't know, how can I speak to a German Jew? She was a Jew. And her husband was a philosopher at UCI. So I just did not know, how can I approach this one to tell her the meaning of human life? But I was in her class, and I was living the meaning of human life. I was living a life in Christ. I was a student in her class, and she was watching me. On the last day of class, I had to take the final, I think before or after the class because of some event, and I was there taking the final. It was just her and I. She said, if you like, you can come back to my office and I'll grade the final for you. And I had a sense from the Lord, you need to linger here. You need to not go so quickly. You know, going to people many times is to go visit them and just be with them. Well, I had a feeling, go with her. You know, I could have said, you know, just email me the grade, right? I'm done. I'm ready to go. But I had a feeling, just visit with her. Go with her. So I walked back with her to her office. She graded the final. Thankfully, I passed the test. And then she looked at me. And she said, can I ask you a question? I can't quite remember the exact utterance, but she said to me, Craig, why, something like this, why are you so peaceful? In other words, she's saying, it seems to me that you have found the meaning of human life. She had been watching me in the class, watching how I conducted myself, watching how I lived in that class. And she saw something of Christ. And so I was able to speak to a German Jew that the reason why I am peaceful is because I have Christ. Because I have found the meaning of my human life is not to try to do good. It's not try to accomplish many things. But the meaning of human life is to receive Christ. And it wasn't just my words, but she saw that in my living. Brothers and sisters, there are many on your campus who need to see you living the meaning of human life. Okay, so we need to go, right? We go. We need to go in the right way. Then also he said, go therefore. What's this therefore mean? Well, in the preceding verse, he said that as a man who had lived a victorious human life on the earth, one in whom Satan had found nothing, and as a man who had gone through the cross and had entered into resurrection and ascended to the highest position in the universe, as a man he had been made Lord and Christ. Amen. He was the Lord of all. And now as a man, he can tell us, I give you my authority. You men now have my authority. I give you the authority. You have the right. Have you ever thought when you've gone out to tell people, do I have the right to go? Have you ever thought, how am I going to convince an atheist that the person they deny exists is the meaning of their life? How am I going to tell an agnostic? How am I going to tell a sinner? How am I going to convince my professor? You don't have to convince anyone. You just need to go, realizing the Lord has given you the authority.
Amen.
You don't have to worry. Will anyone listen to me? Will anyone believe what I say? Don't worry about that. You have been given the authority.
Amen.
from the one who is Lord of all, from the one who has the highest position in the universe. He gave you the authority. People will listen. People will believe. Okay, we need to keep going. We need to go. We need to disciple. The Lord said, He didn't say go preach. He said go disciple. Because the goal of our going is to bring people into Christ, into the church life. It's not just to preach. It's not just to speak in a way that a sinner will repent. Yes, we want all the sinners to repent. Yes, we want them all to believe. But we need to guide them. We need to lead them into Christ. And the way you guide someone, lead someone into Christ. Yes, on one hand, you need to speak. But on the other hand, you need to live this out before them. They need to see this. You need to be a pattern. You need to be in the reality of the things that you speak. This is how you disciple. It's not just to preach, but disciple. Well, I hope the Lord is touching us. Go, go. Don't look at yourself. Look at me, the one who has all authority. I gave you the permission. I gave you the right. You go. Go tell your friends. Go visit your classmates. Go visit your family members. Go tell them. You have found the meaning of human life. And you go, believe. They will listen. They will believe. They will receive this Christ. Well, let's come to the outline. We'll take the remaining time. We'll read through it together. Let's read Roman numeral 1. Go, therefore, and disciple all the nations, baptizing them and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is Matthew 28:19. I'll read 8 to you. To disciple the nations is to make the heathen, the godless, the unsaved, the kingdom people for the establishing of Christ's kingdom, which is the church, even today on this earth. Let's turn to Acts 26:16-18. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He was one who went. He went to the Gentiles. He went to the nations. But he was clear. His going to them wasn't just merely soul winning. His going was to bring these nations out of Satan's kingdom into Christ. So how about we read together? Acts 26:16-18. But rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness, both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from the darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified faith in me. Paul went to open eyes, to turn people from darkness to light, to transfer them from the authority of Satan to God, that these ones would receive forgiveness of sins, but not just that, but they would have an inheritance. We read Colossians 1:12-13. He speaks it the same thing here, that he went to transfer people out of the authority of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Realizing that God had qualified them for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Our going, our speaking is not merely just so sinners would be saved from the lake of fire. Yes, they need to be saved from the lake of fire. Yes, they need to be saved from sins. But there's much more. Amen. They need to be transferred into Christ. Amen. That they would get their inheritance. Amen. They would get their portion. What's our inheritance? What's our portion? It is Christ. Amen. And they need to be discipled. How to enter in. How to enjoy this Christ. day by day. This is what we're doing. We don't have a board on our campus. Let's chalk up how many got saved. How many got baptized? Wow, 10, 12, 15, 30. On one hand, that's good. But that's too low. That falls short. It's not just a number. It's not just a number. It's how many would enter in. It's how many would enter in to receive their inheritance, to enjoy Christ as their portion day by day. Who will go and lead them into this? We will go. Okay, B, I'll read this to you. To disciple the nations is to preach the high gospel. All of us need to study the divine truths in the Bible and the printed ministry to equip us for the preaching of the high gospel. 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17, right? From a babe you have known the sacred writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Verse 16, right? All scripture is God-breathed. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Brothers and sisters, on one hand, we need to go. And we need to live out this reality that we have. That's like putting a picture before people. If someone has never seen the Grand Canyon, you can show them a picture of the Grand Canyon. And they will go, wow. But then they will ask you, what is it? What am I looking at? Then you need a caption. You need an explanation of what they are looking at. Brothers and sisters, we need to live this reality. But then we also need to know the Word of God. So when people come and say, what is it? What is this that you have? We can use the Word. We can tell them. We have Christ. Amen. When they ask us, who's Christ? We can bring them to the Word. Let me show you who Christ is as the meaning of human life. Amen. So we need to live this reality. But we also need to be equipped with the Word of God to be able to tell people what this reality is. Okay, two. The gospel is Christ, who is the very embodiment of the triune God, reaching us as the Spirit for our enjoyment. We also know John 1:14 and 1 Corinthians 15:45b, the two becomings of Christ and the first becoming. God became flesh. Our God became a man. Amen. To be the pattern, the model of the human life. And then this one, through death and entering in resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:45b, this one who's the meaning of human life became a life-giving Spirit. Amen. That's what the Word says. Amen. This one became a life-giving Spirit so He could get into us. Amen. So I'm not trying to imitate Him outwardly. I'm allowing Him to live in me. Amen. Three, to preach the gospel is not merely to win souls. May the veils come away. It's not merely to win souls. It's not that God's waiting for this number to be hit. And once a certain number is hit, that's it. No, God is waiting for more people to enter into this Christ. Amen. To enjoy this Christ. Amen. To be filled with this Christ. Amen. So it begins. We need to save them, right? But then we need to bring them into much more than just the forgiveness of sins. Amen. To preach the gospel is not merely to win souls, but to gain people from different countries and put them into the triune God, that they may become the citizens of the kingdom of the heavens for the establishment of this kingdom. I hope many of you would learn a language besides your mother tongue, so that one day, if the Lord wills, He would send you physically to another nation. That you would be able to speak to them concerning the meaning of life and concerning the church being the expression of Christ. But don't wait. Lift up your eyes. Look on the campuses. The nations are there. At least your nation is there. Americans need to hear this. Don't think everybody in America is a Christian. No. Lift up your eyes. Look at the nations in your classroom, in your lecture halls. Look at them in the cafeteria. Look at them walking by you on campus. They need to hear. Will you go? Will you tell them? Brothers, let's go. Let's tell them. May they not have to wait another day. See, to disciple the nations is to baptize them into the triune God. Baptism puts the believers into the name of the triune God. That's Matthew 28:19. Into Christ, Galatians 3:27. Into the death of Christ, Romans 6:3. And into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. That the believers may enter into an organic union with Christ and His body.
Amen.
Like to take a minute, like to talk to you about this matter of baptism. Baptism is significant. Baptism is meaningful. Baptism is full of reality. But we have to understand, when the Lord said, baptize them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the triune God, this baptism is of two aspects. Two aspects. There's the visible aspect. That is, when you baptize someone, you immerse them into water. But also, with baptism, there is the invisible aspect of being baptized in the Spirit. Without the invisible aspect, without the Spirit, the physical aspect alone is just a ritual, somewhat empty. It has to have the reality of the invisible aspect. It has to have the reality of the Spirit. But the invisible aspect alone is somewhat abstract, difficult for us to apprehend. So with it, complementing it, the Lord challenges us to have the visible aspect, the water also. So, John, come up here. Baptism is not meaningless. The Lord charged us to be baptized. But we have to realize, actually, I need lampstand too. When we baptize someone, visibly, we're putting them into the water. But actually, invisibly, we're full of faith that as we baptize them, we're baptizing them in the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? We're baptizing them into the death of Christ.
Amen.
So that their old man that was independent of Christ, living a vain and empty life, is terminated.
Amen.
And buried.
Amen.
And of course, we raise them up. Amen. To live a new life.
Amen.
Where are they now? They are in Christ.
Amen.
They are in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And there's one more. The triune God.
Amen.
Right? We believe this.
Amen.
This is real.
Amen.
This really takes place. Thank you. So not long after the Lord spoke that, not long, He baptized the Jewish believers on the day of Pentecost. And then in Acts 10, He baptized the Gentile believers at the house of Cornelius. And after that, the disciples were bold to go out and to baptize people, not only into water, but into these wonderful aspects of Christ's death, into Christ Himself, into the triune God, and into the body of Christ.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Amen.
And these two go together, believing and being baptized. And even they should somewhat, in the realm of time, be together. There shouldn't be a delay. Paul, who was Saul, the Lord appeared to him. He believed. 3 days later, he was in Damascus and the Lord sent him a word. 3 days had gone by. Saul, why do you delay? Why are you delaying? Rise up. Be baptized.
Amen.
Oh, and I've got to share this point. Who baptized Saul of Tarsus? Who baptized Saul of Tarsus? Ananias. Who's Ananias? Does anyone know who Ananias is? Who's Ananias? Do you all know who Saul of Tarsus was? Somebody, right? Somebody got baptized by a nobody. He needed a nobody. Ananias, nobody knows who he is. He's just a little brother. But this Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee of Pharisees, who later would become the Apostle Paul, who would even complete the divine revelation, he needed a little nobody brother to come to him and to baptize him. Brothers and sisters, do you feel like you're a little nobody brother or sister? You know, yesterday, we had those testimonies. We had those testimonies yesterday. Were you not touched? Were you not impressed how our God can save people? Even people who apparently have so much going for them. Apparently may have been somebody's, but they told us they were empty. And God saved them. Well, we should all be encouraged. All those people you see on campus that you think are somebody, now you should be emboldened to go speak to them. Because you know the truth is inside, they're empty. Amen. But you know something that you didn't hear in those testimonies yesterday that you really need to pay attention to? Who was it that told them the meaning of their human life? Who was it that discipled them into Christ? Who was it? You remember all those testimonies? But do you remember them telling you who it was that came to them? And who it was that was able to show them the meaning of their human life? And who it was that was able to bring them into the church life? Do you remember? Who was it? It was Ananias! For all of them, they didn't mention anybody. They didn't mention any great name. I think for all of them, it was a nobody. It was an Ananias. Just a little brother. I hope you all would be encouraged. I hope you wouldn't sit there saying, I don't have a testimony like that. I can't go out and impress people. You don't need to impress people. You just need to go tell them what you have. Believe you have the authority. Believe that what you have is what they want. Amen. And they need a little nobody brother or sister like you and me. Amen. In fact, I think there are more nobodies on the campus than there are somebodies, right? So go to all the somebodies, but don't neglect the nobodies. They need you. They need you to come to them, to visit them, and say, I'm just like you. But you know what? I've found the meaning of my human life. Well, I'm running out of my time. I went over. I'm sorry, Lampston. So let's read Roman numeral 2. I have to trust my brother to make up my lack. Okay, Roman numeral 2. In order to go and disciple the nations, we need certain qualification. Hey, the Lord's charge to His disciples took place on a mountain. This indicates that in order to disciple others, we need to be transcendent. We're not the same as them. We're not living the same as them. We don't have the same view as them. We have a higher view. Amen. B, we need to see that Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Amen. We need to go with the authority of the ascended, enthroned, and glorified Jesus. Amen. D, when we go to disciple the unbelievers, we need to have the faith. Amen. Have the faith. Amen. That we are in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't wait for it. Amen. Just claim it. Amen. We have it. Amen. Let's go. Amen. Okay, how about you all turn to 1 Thessalonians 1:5 and read that while our brother gets ready. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. How about whoever gets it, just start to read it.
Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance,
even as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How about also just for the better circulation, we all stand up to read the focus also.
Amen.
Our lives should be alive, preaching the gospel to save sinners and baptize them into the body of Christ for the building up of church, which requires us first to be built up with others and coordinate with others
to fulfill the corporate charge of the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How about three times hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, just pick up from where Brother Craig left off, and just want to mention, how about we read Roman numeral 3 together? Then I will get into my portion here. Okay. The Lord's charge to go and disciple all the nations. It's a corporate charge. How about we read it again? This time we emphasize the phrase, the Lord's charge. Okay?
The Lord's
charge to go and disciple all the nations is a corporate charge. Now how about all the sisters? You emphasize a corporate charge. How about all the sisters stand up and declare that the whole line? Then you emphasize on the corporate charge. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. I just want to underline this word, the Lord's charge. Who charged you?
The Lord.
It's not Brother Craig, it's not me, it's not Ken. The Lord!
Amen.
And who is the Lord at this point? Right, as our brother mentioned, He is the ascended and transcendent Lord. And you remember Brother Brian on Friday night, and I said that this God, He stepped out. This God, the Lord that charged in Matthew 28, is not the God in eternity. It's not the creating God, right? But He stepped out the time. He became a man. Remember that step by step, right? He went through human living, and He was crucified, and He was resurrected, and He was ascended,
Amen.
He was enthroned, and He was glorified.
Amen.
Now what? This is the Lord!
Amen.
And He received all the authorities, both the heavens and the earth, all the authorities. You know how He received that? Because He qualified. And He qualified what? What is the purpose of God creating man? So that man can express God and have God's dominion. Remember the word ID? Image for I, I for image, and D for dominion.
Amen.
That's why we were made. Right? And this man, Jesus, He's a God-man. He fully expressing God in an unlimited way. Right? And also He fully represented God and exercised His dominion, and He destroyed the creep. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
He destroyed the devil on the cross in Hebrews chapter 2, right? That's why He, as the Lord here, received all the authority, and He is ready. He charged. You know, as the Lord, He is ready to be distributed. He has a life-giving spirit now, and He is ready to give anyone who will receive it. Right? And He also has the authority. And I was touched by the word of authority. And that means it's something that is legal in the eyes of God. Brothers and sisters, whatever you do, is it legal? Yeah, maybe good. But God is not talking about good. He's about authority. It's something that He approved. It's something that He qualified. You may be after good, but God is not necessarily after good. Right? God is after something that He desired in His heart. Right? And He is after the church. He wants Christ to be the meaning of human life. And He wants the church to be to be the expression of Christ.
Amen.
The enlargement of Christ. Right? And now, He not just Himself to carry out. Even though in Matthew, He said, I will build my church. But you know what? In His ascension, He charged. He gave the same charge
right.
to all His disciples.
That means, you know what? He's opened up his opportunity so all of us can become God's co-workers. Amen. Aren't you glad to be hired? You are included. Amen. You are God's partner. Amen. He wants you to join Him to build up the biggest project of the building in the whole universe, Amen. Which is the building of the church. Amen. We should be feel very privileged. Amen. Boy, I'm working with the biggest building project here in the universe. And it is not going to be destroyed. And God will build it. Amen. He will approve it.
Amen.
And it's an organic building. And then I want to impress you with the word, the corporate charge. He not just charged the 11 disciples, but actually He already charged all of us, whoever received Him to be His children, to be, you know, part of His kingdom, this charge is for you. And you don't need to wait for that call. I hope that one day God will call me, you know, to go somewhere to Africa. This charge is already sounded out.
Amen.
Are you saved? Have you received the Lord?
Amen.
Are you sons of God?
Amen.
Not that loud. We are sons of God.
Amen. We are sons of God.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Amen.
Sisters, are you saved?
Amen.
Brothers, are you sons of God?
Amen.
How about sister, are you sons of God too?
Amen.
There's no gender difference here. We are sons of God because we have the life of God.
Amen.
Then if you are, you are qualified to receive this charge. You don't have to wait for the call. This charge, the call is already out. It depends on if you want to take it. Right? Okay. How about go to Rome, point A. We have brothers read this for us. Read it with an exercise of your spirit.
The ones who go are the church in a corporate sense. This means that we need to be fully built together with others in a practical church.
So since this is a corporate charge, it's not an individual charge. We need to be built up. And this under Roman numeral 3, the word that I keep repeating there is built. 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 Built.
Amen.
How about, you know, if this, let's say this is a group of Jesus' disciples. And He asked them, go! And what? Baptize, what? Disciple the nations and baptize them. And Eric just go his way. And let's say these are the three closest disciples of the Lord. You know, this is Peter, this is John, and this is James. And they just all go on their own individual way. Then eventually, can you imagine what happened? If they all go in a separate and unbuilded way, scattered way, eventually, here come. This is St. Peter's church. And this one is St. John's church. All kinds of church come out. Is that what the Lord desire?
No.
Do you see St. John's church in the Bible?
No.
Did you see St. Peter's church? No, St. Peter's church. St. Peter's church in the Bible?
No,
that is not what the Lord wants. He just wants the church.
Amen.
Which is His body.
Amen.
That's why I want to infuse you and impress you how we should go. I want to impress you the condition that we should go. The nature that we should go. And also the goal of our going. Okay? What is our condition? Our condition should be in a loving condition. You remember last night, brother, I forgot which brother, that referred us to John chapter 13. If you love one another, the world will know that you are my disciple. You can go. But are you loving one another or are you competing with one another? Right? So this is the condition. How about another condition? Oneness. Are you go as one man or are you go as many individuals? I would like to walk through you a little bit in the book of Acts. You will be amazed how they go. They go in one accord.
Amen.
They go in oneness.
Amen.
They go in loving one another.
Amen.
How about the nature? What kinds of nature do they go in? Are they going in the worldly way? In a fleshy way, as I mentioned? You know, they just go to build up something of their own interest? For their own name? Is that the way that they go in? They go in a rivalry way? In fact, there was such a situation in the book of Philippians when Paul wrote Philippians chapter 1. He says, some preach Christ because of jealousy. But Paul, it doesn't matter to him. That is fleshly way. Jealousy is fleshly. You want something for yourself. You want something to compete with Paul. You want to do something that caused Paul to feel more painful while he was already in the prison for the sake of the Lord. That is jealousy. Can you believe that people will preach Christ out of jealousy? Is that the kind of nature we want to? No. How about worldly way? Bring in the easier way. Popular way. We don't want those way. Because we don't see that in the Bible. Bible only shows us the way that is spiritual.
Amen.
That is sanctified.
Amen.
By using the word.
Amen.
The prayer.
Amen.
And the spirit.
Amen.
If these three doesn't work, you shouldn't try to think of either way. It won't work.
Amen.
And it is not the body of Christ.
Amen.
If you would use those kinds of way, it will not produce the body of Christ as the expression of God and as the increase of Christ. We need to be very clear.
Amen.
Rock music, big screen, yeah, you just go there to meet anything. We don't want that kind of nature. How about the goal? Goal of our going. Are we going to build up the body of Christ? Or are we just build up certain kinds of human organization? Or religious entity? Right? We want to see. We need to be built up.
Amen.
We need to know very clearly in what way we should go. That's why on one hand the Lord said go, but on the other hand he said wait. You say, let him say, where you get that? Well, I'll show you. And Acts chapter 1. Okay, now if you have Bible, open up your Bible, please. Acts chapter 1. By the way, before I continue this, you know, the Lord, after he was resurrected, for 40 days, he was appearing, disappearing among his disciples. And I want to ask you, what is the main topic that he was talking to them in that 40 days? That's great. What was it? Kingdom! Okay, how about read that? Huh? Chapter 1, verse 3. How about brothers?
To whom also he presented himself alive after his suffering by many irrefutable proofs, appearing to them through a period of 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God.
And then what? Verse 4, now I read it to you. And as he met together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said he heard from me. Of course, this waiting is, we knew, is for 10 days. But at that time, they didn't know. They just wait. Wait until the Spirit was poured out, right? Of course, that waiting is for that Spirit to pour out. But I want to emphasize and make a point here. They're not just waiting, everyone look at each other. What should we do? What should we do? And, no. Then the other will say, don't keep asking me what should we do. Are they just sleeping together? Chill off? No. Right? What they are doing there? Waiting. Actually, you know what? The Lord, in that 10 days, you may not realize it, but I want to tell you, they are being built together. Okay, how do I know that? Okay, how about read verse 15? Maybe I read it to you. You go to chapter 1, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the brothers. And then it says what? There was a group of persons gathered together, about 120. It's not a small number. 120, they were gathered together. They were together. Aren't you glad we are together this weekend?
Amen.
Jesus gathered us together.
Amen.
In order to be built, first qualification is that we need to be gathered. You need to make time. You need to take time in your campus to be gathered together.
Amen.
If you're all scattered, there is no building. There is no blending.
Right.
Then verse 14 tells us what they did. These all continued steadfastly with one accord in prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. All these 120, they get together, not gossiping, not guessing, not criticizing, but they were getting together what? What did they do?
Pray.
They get together to pray. The best way for us to be built together is to pray. Pray. Pray away our differences. Pray away our opinions. Pray away our preferences. Pray into one. Then you see what happened. You go to chapter 2. Of course, you know, after that, I want you to see chapter 2, verse 14. And Peter standing with the 11. He was not standing alone. Even though it was Peter spoke the message, but it was Peter standing with the 11. Saints, I'm so happy this weekend. I'm not speaking here alone. I have brothers standing with me. And I'm standing with them.
Amen.
What they speak, I amen.
Amen.
I believe what I speak, they amen too. We want to be built together.
Amen.
And we brothers spend hours fellowshipping and praying.
Amen.
And hallelujah, we are in the body and being built up together.
Amen.
It is in such a way that the church life began. Right? And then what happened? Go quickly to chapter 2, verse 41. Right away, there are 3,000 people got added, right, in one day. And what do they do? They're conducting a Bible school or whatever seminary? No. And 42, you can see. And they continue steadfastly in teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and the prayers again. Yeah. And all those who believe, 44, and all those who believe were together and had all things common. This is starting the church life here, the communal life. And they just share everything in common. Amen. And 46, and day by day, continue steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread and from house to house. And this is how we build together, by praying, by fellowshipping together, from house to house, right? And they partook the food with exultation and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. You know what? People can't help but see how come this group of people, they are in such a harmonious situation, right? Can live such a way. No head. No one that president. Exercise control, everyone. Set up policies. You know what? Who is the policy? The Spirit.
Amen.
Who is the head? The Spirit.
Amen.
Because of the degraded situation, we need human government. Even today, so-called church, they cannot exist without a pastor. But do you see any pastor here? They're just brothers.
Amen.
If you go to later on to chapter 13, when the church at that time spread out in Antioch. How about go to chapter 13? I want you to see this real quick. Chapter 13, verse 1. And we've been built together here. We don't mean, oh, we have come from the same background. Oh, we went to the same school. We have the same major. No, we're not talking about that kinds of building. That is natural. That is not what the Lord is after. Our building is in the Spirit.
Amen.
Through much prayer.
Amen.
Right? And you see, chapter 13, verse 1. Now they were in Antioch in the local church. It didn't say in a local church, as if there are many churches. There's only one church in that whole city of Antioch. Now they were in Antioch, in the local church, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, right? You know Barnabas' background? He's a Cyprian from Cyprus. Simeon, who was called Niger, which means black, probably his origin is from Africa. And Lucius, the Cyrenian, which is another background, different background. And Manian, the foster brothers of Herod, he is probably an European. And Saul is a Jew with a Roman citizenship. They all come from all different backgrounds. But they are together as the church.
Amen.
As the Lord's expression.
Amen.
As the Lord's kingdom there.
Amen.
Right? The Lord can exercise his way through this group of brothers. And what did they do? And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me now Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. You see? And then they have fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. They sent them away. But verse 4 says, and then having been sent out by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This group of brothers come from different backgrounds. Through prayer, blended together, and built together. Do you think they don't have their differences? They put that aside. They put off that old man.
Hallelujah.
Strip it off. Put on a new man.
Amen.
Christ, Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
In this new man. And they are just nobody. That's why Paul can say, in a new man, there is no this, no that, no this, no that. You think you are somebody, Brother Joe?
No.
I'm nobody too. Right? But I'm happy that I'm a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
I'm a child of God.
Amen.
What more do you want? You want another title? Pastor, Reverend, so-and-so? We don't need that. Right? We just happy that we have a life of God.
Amen.
We have Christ in us.
Amen.
He's the meaning of our human life.
Amen.
And we want to spread this person.
Amen.
We want to multiply this person.
Amen.
Don't multiply lampstand. They're not worth of anything. You know, don't try to propagate your idea. Worth of nothing. Eventually, you'll be disqualified anyway. But anyway, where are we now? How about go to point one. We need to go fast now, huh? John 17 speaks of the world believing through the oneness of the believers. Our oneness in Christ is the strongest testimony. And in order to be built together, John 17 also revealed to us we only hold on to one name, which is the Father's name. Brothers and sisters, if you are exalting some other people's name, you're doomed, you have a problem. You will cause division. Hallelujah, we only have Jesus' name.
Amen.
We love Jesus' name.
Amen.
All the other names we repudiate, right? And also in John 17, the Lord said, I have given them your word, and sanctify them in your truth, which is the word. And anything that is not the word, we will not take. Yes, it may sound like it's a great idea. Show me where it is in the Bible. If it cannot show you, it's simply somebody's great idea, forget about it. I just appreciate who Petro, right? He was sharing. If anything is not found in the word of God, we won't take it. Praise the Lord. We have the open Bible.
Amen.
We love the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible is so fun.
Amen.
I tell you, you can tell somebody what is their interest. If they have a little free time, you see what they pick up. I tell you what I pick up in my free time. If I have a minute or 2 minutes, besides get a little rest, I will pick up my Bible. Amen. I love my Bible.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And also, I have to speed up, huh? Point two, how about we have sister read it for us. Yeah, I already covered that part. And point three, brothers.
We should not try to be a leader. Instead, by the Lord's mercy and grace, we should be a member built with others in the church.
How about sister, point four? Yeah, at this point I just say, you know, what is the high gospel? The high gospel brings us back to the original purpose of God. And this is what God is after. Aren't you glad we have been brought back all the way to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? And we're also being brought back to the practice of the church life as the apostles' time. And today there are many genuine seeking Christians. They are actually quite tired of the church organization. They knew behind the scene what's going on, right? And there's not much there. And they don't like to be preached down. They want to have a, you know, relatedness with one another. They like mutuality. Amen. They like from house to house.
Amen.
And this is what is going to be recovered in this, at the end of this age. You will see there are many Christians, they are disgusted, they don't want anymore, but they don't know where to go. But that's why we are here, brothers and sisters, and being grouped together with two and threes in our local church, praying, loving one another, ministering Christ with one another, and are sharing the enjoyment with one another, drinking Jesus, breathing Jesus,
amen,
eating Jesus,
amen,
be filled with Jesus,
amen,
then who you are? You are just Jesus walking on the earth. And that's why Paul said, what a manner we have toward you. They become the gospel. They not just preach the gospel, but they are the gospel. Then you go, and everyone longing for this. They may argue with you at the beginning. You know, don't be scared of those 6 foot and a half tall and football player. They're just as empty as the one is 5 feet high. You know. And those who, you know, have a lot of achievement, actually they feel more empty. They realize it quicker than those who are, you know, not so high achievement. President needs the gospel. President just president for the office. But he is a man.
Amen.
You need to see that he is a man.
Amen.
He need to be filled with Christ.
Amen.
Okay, how about we, point five? I read point five, huh? Then we all pray that prayer in point B. In our work, there should be nothing personal or individualistic. All our work is from the church, for the church, and back to the church.
Amen.
And then how about we pray that together? We need to pray.
Oh Lord, I do not need anything but a building. Grant me to be built up with others, Lord. Oh Lord, I need the building. I need the oneness.
In a few minutes, we'll have the mic set up for some sharing. And so hopefully you all would consider a little something to share. But we don't have much time. We're going to have to stop early. Before we do, I just want to mention one thing to you. The brothers felt I should share a little something real quick before you all come. And this is first of all, I want to mention something real simple related to a testimony of my own. And that is, when I was in college, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a brother that I played tennis with. Well, I had a tennis class, and he was in there, and I used to beat him a lot. I do remember that. But one day after class, we were walking to class, and he stopped me and he shared one little word with me, a verse that he enjoyed, something from Ephesians. And you know what? That young brother sharing one little verse changed the course of my whole life. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that brother, that little verse after tennis class. So I hope that would be an encouragement to all of you. Let us go. It doesn't matter who they are. Just speak the word. Speak your enjoyment of Christ. There's a brother, many of you have heard the story. This happened just a couple of weeks ago. There's a brother, Tim Agashi. His brother here is Paul. And of course, you know his dad, Dennis. Paul, why don't you stand up, brother? He kind of looks like him. It's basically Paul's twin brother. Anyway, he lives up in Washington, D.C., in that area, and he goes to school there. And there was a town hall with President Obama, and there were a number of students that were screened ahead of time to come for this town hall to talk about the interest of students. His brother was one of the ones who went through a six-hour screening and interview and checks and all this before he could be there at this town hall. And he was put on the front row, the seat one, row one. And next to him was Obama's water and so forth. When he got there, he had some feeling. I need to say something. I just have some feeling to say something to the president. And he prayed. That's the first thing I want to mention. He prayed. And he was with some other saints that even encouraged him to go. So he was not standing alone, but he was standing with the saints,
Amen.
With the brothers.
Amen.
And they were praying for him. And he prayed, and he had some feeling. He said, I felt to say something. And he said he had the feeling, I love what he said. I just interviewed him last night. He said, I wanted to give him life. I wanted to minister Christ to him somehow, some way. He didn't know how he would do it. There was a commercial break, and he came and he began to talk to a couple of the ones right next to him. And he came to him, he came to Tim. And he began to speak with him. He asked him some questions about what he was doing in school, what his goals were. And then the president was giving him some advice. And Tim just got burdened, and he kind of took the president by surprise and kind of interrupted him, is what he put it. And he said, Mr. President, I need to tell you something. And he was just like, and the president's giving him some advice, you know what I mean, about, you know, your career and so forth. And, Mr. President, I need to tell you something. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
The name of Jesus got into the ears of the President of the United States.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. And President Obama looked at him and he said, that's right. Pray for me. And Tim said, Mr. President, I will. And then that was it for that little time. And then it was interesting just after that, at the end of the time. Oh yeah, I wanted to get Tim's observation. He said when he was there talking to the president and he had prayed, he had some feeling within. He said all of a sudden he was looking at him. And he said his presidential charisma just sank. And he said him as a high political figure dropped to just a man. He's a man who needs Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that something? All of a sudden you're with the president, one of the most powerful men on the whole earth. And the charisma and the political figure just is nothing. And he's a man like Joe.
Amen.
Who needs Christ.
Amen.
This is what we need to consider about all the ones. And what this goes to show us also is that, listen, we can speak to anybody. You can speak to the president. You can speak to the janitor. You can speak to anyone, right? And we need to. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're the president, you're still just a man who needs Christ.
Amen.
And then he had one other thing. As Obama, President Obama was leaving, he went by, and then he saw Tim over his shoulder, out of the corner of his eye. And he stopped, and he went back to him, put his hand on his shoulder, and he said, "Thanks." Isn't that good? Amen. I thought that's good. Isn't that what he said? Thanks. That's what he told me last night. Anyway, and then there was a girl next to him that was on that row. And she saw all this and watched all this. And she just said to Tim, your faith, I want to be like you. Your faith is so strong and so real. Isn't that good? Anyway, Tim's no different than all of us, right? Don't think, oh. Paul, what are you going to do for your, what are you going to do now? Who are you going to go talk to, brother? You need to talk to like a Joe, hallelujah. A nobody. A Ken Walker, a nobody. Anyway, all mankind, they need Jesus.
Amen.